Bhagavad Gita as it is. Ninth chapter, text 9. Nachamam tani karmani nibadnanti tananjaya udasinavadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. Purport. One should not think in this connection that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no engagement in his spiritual world. He is always engaged. In the Brahma Sanghita it is stated, Atma Ramasya Tasyasti Prakritya Nasamagamaha. He is always involved in his eternal, blissful, spiritual activities, but he has nothing to do with these material activities. Material activities are being carried on by his different potencies. The Lord is always neutral in the material activities of the created world. This neutrality is mentioned here with the word udasinavat. Although he has control over every minute detail of material activities, he is sitting as if neutral. The example can be given of a high court judge sitting on his bench. By his order, so many things are happening. Someone is being hanged, someone put into jail, someone is awarded a huge amount of wealth. But still, he is neutral. He has nothing to do. Well, I'm not making it easy. He has nothing to do with all that gain and loss. Similarly, the Lord is always neutral, although he has his hand in every sphere of activity. In the Vedanta Sutra, it is stated, Vaishamya Nigranye Na. He is not situated in the dualities of this material world. He is transcendental to these dualities, nor is he attached to the creation and annihilation of this material world. The living entities take their different forms in the various species of life according to their past deeds, and the Lord doesn't interfere with them. Om Jnana Tumirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Maha Sri Chaitanya Manistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Yam Dhati Shabana Nacham Mam Tani Karmani Nibhidnati Tananjana Tananjaya Udasina Vadasinam Asaktam Teshu Karmasu. Krishna has told Arjuna that he's in charge of all the material affairs. He's manifesting all the planets, all the universes, all the cosmic manifestation. He's destroying everything. He's doing everything in a cycle, making everything appear, and then smashing everything. Bhutva, bhutva, priliyate. Everything is being done by Krishna. He's maintaining everything, he's destroying everything, he's creating everything again. But Krishna says, I'm not entangled. You're doing some work, little work, and getting entangled. I'm doing all this work, and I'm never getting entangled. You create a little house, and you get entangled in so many actions and reactions. You create any little thing, and it's entangling for you. I'm doing everything, creating the whole cosmic manifestation and maintaining it, destroying it, seeing to the travels of all living entities through their journeys in different lifetimes, and nibadanati dhananjaya. No, I'm not getting entangled. So, I'm never touched by material nature. Udasina vadasina. He's situated neutrally. He has no favorites. name dveshyosti nakriya. He has no favorites and no enemies. He's simply carrying out his, not his duty, because he has no duty to perform. The Lord says, there's, what is that? Trishu lokeshu kinchana? I have no duty anywhere in the three worlds. Name partasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana. The Lord has no duty, but still he's performing activities. Partly, as an example, he carries out his activities as a king, as a coward boy, as a son, as a brother. He shows the example of how to act for the benefit of others. Krishna is getting up every morning before sunrise, performing, chanting his Gayatri, taking his bath, chanting his Gayatri mantra, performing pious activities, just to set an example. Although he doesn't have to do any of those things. So that's his one reason. And the other reason to carry out the affairs of the cosmic manifestation for the benefit of the conditioned souls. Asaktam teju karmasu. He has no attachment in the matter. It's not that for his own enjoyment he's carrying out the affairs of cosmic manifestation. It's not for that. His own enjoyment is there in the spiritual world. That's mentioned. Atmaramasya tasyasti prakritya nasamadama. He has his spiritual activity. He doesn't need to enjoy anything here. In the spiritual world, his activities are going on. But in the material world, neutrally, he does everything. Neutrally. Udasina vadasina. He's directing the cosmic manifestation. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyute sacharashri. But the Lord is not neither entangled nor influenced by the material energy. This is the difference between Lord Krishna and various, even Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is almost in the position of Vishnu. But Lord Shiva is in touch with the material energy. He's married to the material energy. Parvati, his consort, is the goddess of the material nature. So Lord Shiva is in touch with the material nature. Therefore, he's slightly affected. Shri Ramyata Tathivikara Vishesha Yoga Sanjayate Nahitatakutagasti Yasambhutam Apitata Samupayati Karjam Govindamari Purusham Tamangam. The Krishna or Vishnu is in the position resembling that of milk, and the position of Lord Shiva is compared to that of curd or yogurt. When milk and yogurt are the same thing, but when the milk is slightly transformed by the touch of tamarind or some sour substance, it becomes yogurt. Still it's milk, but in a transformed form. And it can't be used the same way as milk. If the doctor prescribes you take this medicine with milk, you can't take it with curd. You can't take it with curd. When we want to give the baby milk, we don't give the baby curd. It's not the same thing. But the milk we can use for any purpose. We can use it as milk, or still we can transform it into curd. But the curd you can't turn into milk. That's not possible. So the milk is the original form, and the curd is the transformation. So in the same way, Krishna or Vishnu is the original personality of Godhead. And Lord Shiva is almost in the position of Vishnu. But on account of being in touch with the material energy, and therefore slightly affected, his position is just below that of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu never comes in touch with the material energy. Closest he comes is he just glances. He just glances at the material energy. But Lord Shiva carries that glance and comes directly in touch with material energy. And therefore his position is just below that of Lord Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu, Krishna, is the original personality of Godhead. Or Vishnu is the personality of Godhead and Lord Krishna is the original form of Vishnu. Krishna stu bhagavan swayam. Therefore Lord Brahma says, Govinda Madhi Purusha Tamam. I offer my obeisances to the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. Govinda Madhi Purusha. Asaktam teshu karmashu. Krishna says that what to speak of being entangled, anyone who knows that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone who knows him as the Personality of Godhead also is not entangled. What is that verse? You have that? Krishna's position is that he's so transcendentally situated that simply by understanding his position, one is liberated from material existence, or one is freed from all entanglement in activities. Chaktva deham punar janma naiti mami. Maybe that verse is coming my way.
For a verse, you don't always find it, do you?
After the class, you can ask me what the verse is, and I'll remember. It always works that way. All right, maybe we'll stop here and take some questions. What kind of questions do we have today?
After life, what should a person think about that he should get after, at the time of death, or maybe post-death, what should a person hope for?
What should a person hope for after death? Yes, there are different goals. Someone is hoping for a better material circumstance. He wants to go to the heavenly planets. He wants to come back in a rich family or something like that. And someone else is hoping to attain mukti and merge with the absolute truth. Okay. Not going to be here long. Didn't like the idea of merging with the absolute truth.
I guess some, and you're talking about
next life. He's not going to be a Mayavadi. Kaivalyam Narakayate. Just the very idea of liberation makes a Vaishnava cry. So that's That's not our goal. I shouldn't even have mentioned it. But the devotee wants that in the next life I'll be able to render devotional service. Mama janmani janmani shire bhavatan bhaktir hartakitai. I just want to be your servant. That's the devotee's prayer.
Vishnu just plants us in the material world and Shiva, Vishnu just he glances to this material world and Shiva he carries us the material world. Krishna also comes in this material world, no? How that means?
But he doesn't, he's not directly carrying on the affairs of the material, and he's coming here and he's not getting involved with the material maintenance. He's not in touch with the material energy. He's always in a spiritual position. Actually, Vrindavanam Paratyajya Padamekam Nagashyati. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. When he comes here, he brings Vrindavan with him. He doesn't leave the spiritual world. Nor does he come and supervise the running of the material nature. He comes and performs his pastimes just to give a glimpse of spiritual activity. He doesn't get involved with material energy at all.
Comes with Vrindavan, so he'll find the Govardhan Giri now also.
But that's not material. Giri Govardhan is not material. Muna is not material. Vrindavan is not material. Nothing there is material. Only our vision is material. You're saying it's material, but Vrindavan is not material. It's only our eyes that are material.
Krishna will come to bring Vrindavan. Not take back.
No, it's still there. Just our vision is not there.
The other planetary systems, the higher planets, isn't devotional service possible in those planets?
You can serve there, but it's actually better to serve here. Serving there, one gets entangled. I'm Indra, I'm Chandra. Therefore, the demigods are praying that at the end of our term as demigods, if we have any pious activities left, we prefer to take birth in Paradvarsha, which is the actual place for spiritual cultivation. Otherwise, you can serve in the heavenly planets, but why should we desire, let me serve in the heavenly planets? Just let me serve. If I'm desiring, let me serve in the heavenly planets, that's again material desire. Better to desire. If I go to the heavenly planets, that's all right. And if I go to the lower planets, that's all right. Just let me be engaged in service.
But isn't there, in this planet, there's a lot of grief and pain and...
Because we're not engaged in devotional service. Otherwise, a devotee, for a devotee, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, it doesn't matter. Svargeshu api api tulyartha darshan. Narayana prasarve nakutashchana vibhiti. Svargeshu apavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshan. Devotee of Narayana is not afraid of anything. Whether he goes to Swarg, or whether he gets liberation, or he goes to hell, it's, for him it's the same. Devotee is not, for him it's no better or worse. The heavenly planets, not that a devotee wants to go to the heavenly planets and perform service with, you know, all opulence and have this and this and this. He just wants to serve. And it's not that he's afraid, oh, if I go to hell, the circumstances are so bad there, how can I serve? If I have service, it's all right. Just like Prabhupada, he wasn't thinking, if I stay in Vrindavan and render service, that's all right. If I go to America, no, it's very inconvenient there. I'm not going to go. He was prepared. I'll go to America, I'll go to Russia, I'll go to China, I'll go any place, as long as there's some service for Krishna. Not that Vrindavan is very nice, so I'll stay in Vrindavan. And if some place is not nice, I'm not going there. He was sometimes staying in very nice quarters and sometimes staying in a hut. He was didn't care, no. Unless I get very nice quarters, I'm not going. Didn't matter. It's unalloyed devotional service.
Unconditional.
Is there a difference in Krishna and Vishnu? Because in Gita, sometimes they write in bracket.
Krishna and Vishnu are the same person, but Vishnu's manifestation is not full. Lord Vishnu manifests what percentage? 98% of the qualities of God, and Krishna presents 100%. Just like the... yes? No. That's a different
thing. The original form and the transformed.
That's the different thing. We're talking about Vishnu. That's Lord Shiva. Now we're coming to milk. Maybe milk, you... Okay, if you want that example. So you get, what is that? Full fat milk? Full cream milk, then you know, half cream milk.
Skim
milk. Curd is another thing. That's a different thing. But milk itself, you get 100%, 50%. So Vishnu is, you know, a little less milk fat is there.
But in the 11th chapter, Krishna is showing his full avatar of Vishnuji.
Krishna shows that I can also show within me this capability to manifest myself as Vishnu is there. It's not that Vishnu is the original, but Krishna is the original, and he shows I can appear as Vishnu also.
But then how
about
they show Vishnu is the Virat Rupa of Krishna?
What is that? What is that?
Virat Rupa, the big group.
Yeah, Virat Rupa. Okay, what do you mean?
In Bhagavad, they have shown the Vishnu is the Virat Rupa of Krishna. And when the Vishnu took the birth, he took as a Krishna.
That someone is showing, but that's not the version of Shastra. That's maybe you're reading some, I don't know where you're seeing, maybe in some process.
In Gita only, 11th chapter.
Gita, Krishna says, Mata parataram na anyat kinchir asti dhanandai. My dear Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. No, this is not in the 11th chapter. This is not in the Virat Rupa chapter. This is in 9th chapter. Mata parataram nanya. Krishna says, there's no truth superior to me. Mayi sarvam idam protam sutre maniganayva. Everything is resting on me like pearls on a thread. Elsewhere, aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam prabhava. Everything comes from me. Vishnu also comes from Krishna. If you think Vishnu is higher than Krishna, then how can Krishna say nothing is higher than me? It means even Vishnu is partial manifestation of Krishna. And in the Bhagavatam, you'll find ete chamsa kala pumsa Krishna stu bhagavan svayam. The list of avatars is there. Ram, Shringa, Varaha, Kurma, Matsya, Vishnu avatars, everything is there. Then it said, ete, among all these avatars, some of them are partial, some of them are part of a part, amsakala, but, tu means but, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is Bhagavan himself. He's the original personality of God. This conception is very widespread. Vishnu is the original, Krishna is the manifestation. But according to Bhagavatam, the list of avatars is there. Krishna's avatar is also given. Matsya, Kurma, Nrisinga, Krishna, Kalki. It says, so in this list, they're all part or part of a part, but Krishna is Bhagavan. He is the original.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
He's not different from Krishna. 100%.
Actually, in Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that this, Krishna is saying that this is an illusion which I need to create. Nobody should come close to me. And it's in the introduction where they say that Shiva should be worshipped.
Whose introduction?
In the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
There's a page there where it says that Krishna himself says that people should be under the illusion and not be able to come close to me.
Where is that?
And who is
that?
We are
the
one who
only who can come.
Huh?
It's actually very...
In our...
Right in the first chant.
In Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, in the introduction?
Yeah. Just reading it yesterday, actually.
It doesn't sound exactly right.
He mentioned that Lord Shiva is in the material world, so people should be more attracted to him.
I don't think you've got it quite right. We'd have to look at it, but I don't think, it doesn't sound quite.
Yeah,
maybe, but something like that, but doesn't sound exactly right. Maybe you want to go back and read it again.
Because I believe people who are in the material world, they should be more, because we had chosen to be in the material world, Krishna wanted us to be in the illusion.
No, that's, now I know what you're talking about, in Kali Yuga.
Yes.
Just to keep Kali Yuga going. Krishna, Lord Vishnu sends Lord Shiva as Shankaracharya to preach the... Yeah, okay.
That's the same one.
Yeah, but that, you're sort of mixing things up here a little bit.
Oh, really? Please help me.
Well, it's all right. Just that it's not that, that Shiva... It's not a Shiva-Krishna issue. It's that it's a Kali Yuga, how to push forward Kali Yuga. So Krishna tells Lord Shiva, you do it, because Kali Yuga has to be bad. So you push Mayavad philosophy, which is a cheating philosophy, asatya-shastra. You push that, and that'll push forward the objectives of Kali Yuga. That's the point. It's not that people can't get close to Krishna.
Okay.
Yes.
But is Mayavadi philosophy that we become one as
Brahman? That's Mayavad. That's Mayavad philosophy. Yeah.
Enter into Brahman.
Yeah.
Brahman. Right. Is it Brahman and Brahma same?
Same.
Are they talking about?
Yeah, there's just the... Yeah, Brahma, Brahman.
Same.
Just not Brahma. Brahma is... Chakrama Brahma, that's different. But this Nirakar Brahma, you can put an N at the end or no N, doesn't matter, it's the same.
I mean, Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is... easy to the pure devotion.
Hmm?
Krishna consciousness gets it easy to the pure devotion.
Krishna consciousness is pure devotion and it leads you to pure devotion.
Can you elaborate?
The process and the goal are the same. The goal is love of Krishna or service to Krishna. And the process is service to Krishna. In material, in other activities, you perform karma for mukti. Or you perform karma for elevation. You perform gyan for mukti. You perform yoga for siddhis. You perform something and then you get something. But in bhakti yoga, you perform service for service. What's the result that we hope to achieve by service? More service. Because jivayoshru paya krishna niti, that's the actual position of the living being, is that he is a servant. Real mukti, real liberation means to be situated in service to the Supreme. Now I'm situated in service to the inferior material energy. I'm serving my country, I'm serving my boss, I'm serving my senses. But liberation means to be freed from that service and to be engaged in the superior service. That's eternal. That's the Sanatana Dharma, the eternal occupation of the living being, to be engaged in Krishna service. So our process, our goal is to be engaged in the service of the Supreme, and our process is to be engaged in the service of the Supreme. The process and the goal are the same. Okay. Was your question answered all right? You still have a question?
Can you be one with God? I mean,
you're already one with God. Just like your finger. It's one with your body.
Atma Paramatma. So
your finger is one with your body, is it not?
Yeah.
But is your finger your whole body? No.
So you cannot merge into God, but you'll be part of God.
You're already part of God, but we've forgotten that we're part of God. We're acting as if we're apart from God. But liberation means to be connected with God, but maintain your individuality. Just like a child has left his family, so he's out. But when he comes back to the family, it's not that now he becomes his father. Father remains the father, the son remains the son, but now he's reunited with the family, so there's oneness. But not that everyone becomes the same person. Not that I become God. God never becomes God. God is God. Something else?
Is there the different types of liberation what's mentioned in
China? Yeah, that will be a long topic. But perfection of liberation is to be engaged in the service of Krishna. Mukti Hitvanyata Rupa. Swarupena Vilasa. Mukti, moksha, liberation means to be freed from our false identity. I'm this body, I'm Indian, I'm American. And to be engaged in our real position as servant of Krishna.
And do we overcome the obstacles in
devotional
service, like family life and...
Chant Hare Krishna. That's everything. Namabhi nakichu nahi kavar chalda bhuvana maje. In the whole 14 worlds, there's nothing better than the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore, so much emphasis is given on this chanting. By chanting Hare Krishna, avoiding the 10 offenses, everything will be included. All these questions, what to do about family life, what to do about my job, what to do about my this, that, so many questions, whatever we have to figure out. What about this choice? What about that choice? How to manage this? How to understand that? They'll all be answered by chanting. Now that doesn't mean that there's not something we can say about all these things. That's also there. But ultimately, chanting will do everything.
Would it be right in saying that chanting the names of the Holy Lord is serving Him?
Yes, chanting, sevan mukhi jivada, chanting begins with the tongue. Chanting the holy name is definitely...
How else can you serve the holy
name? Sevan mukhi jivada, you can honor the prasadam offered to Krishna. That's also sevan. You can hear. To chant, chanting and hearing. So the hearing is also
would spreading the word also be service?
That's chanting.
Or
chanting doesn't mean only singing. Chanting means to vibrate the glories of Krishna. So that's first class.
Getting people towards Krishna consciousness would be service.
That's definitely service. That's the best service. Mm-hmm. Distribute these books about Krishna. That's service. That's also kirtan. Glorification, spreading the glories of the Lord. Remembering Krishna, that's also service. Offering prayers to Krishna, that's also service. Worshipping the deity, that's also service. There are 9 kinds of service primarily.
Does
the
Guru become advanced in devotional service?
Actually, to just like school, you can attend the classes, but if you actually want to go somewhere, you have to enroll. Right? You can read some books, you can maybe sit in on a class or two, but if you really want to get the result of the education, then we have to enroll. It's like that. Tad vigyan artam sha guru meva abhigacchati. If we want to get realization of the real meaning of Krishna consciousness, then we have to approach a bona fide spiritual person. Gacchati is imperative, one must. Okay. Something else?
Mm-hmm.
spiritual activities, then you chant the mantra. But you're not really...
Yeah, you must.
You're doing some other work and keeping on chanting the mantra.
That's good.
Focus.
Your alternative is to do the other work and not chant the mantra. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kirtaniya Sadhavi, always chant.
Just any work that you do.
Anything. You're cooking, chant Hare Krishna. You're cleaning, chant Hare Krishna. You're taking care of the children, chant Hare Krishna.
That is not attentive.
You're driving, chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, but you're not giving full attention.
He's saying
that
in
public, the 16 rounds.
No, no, sir.
16 rounds.
On your beads, you should chant, you know. That's a separate thing.
Okay.
But apart from your chanting on your prescribed number of rounds,
yeah.
What about the rest of the time? Chant Hare Krishna. Not that now I've finished my 16 rounds, all business finished. No, end of chanting for the day. No, always chant. It will benefit us even if we chant when they were cleaning Gundita's temple, had so many brooms and buckets and everything, and they were calling for more just by saying Hare Krishna. You know, I need another bucket, or Hare Krishna, that means I need another broom, or Hare Krishna, that means, you know, why so little dust, or you know, they're just saying Hare Krishna. There's a temple we visited in Ayodhya. Very nice temple of Lord Ramchandra. Not the disputed one, but there's some other temple nearby. And they have every day very nice prasadam distribution. And everyone sits, and the servers go around, and they'll offer chapati ram, dal ram, puri ram. You know, they're always chanting ram, ram, ram. So it's nice. You don't have to stop chanting Hare Krishna. And now I finished my rounds. No more chanting. Go on chanting 24 hours. Is that all right?
You mentioned that inattentive chanting is an offense.
And not chanting is a worse offense.
I think gradually it comes up when we start doing inattentivity also.
Yeah.
You get the benefits of it and you go more into it.
It means you're giving some attention, otherwise why are you chanting? First point was I wasn't chanting. Now my attention has come to Krishna, I'm chanting. And I get more absorbed, I'll chant with more attention. First thing is to chant. Sometimes people say, no, I don't think I should chant because I commit too many offenses. But that's a bigger offense, not to chant at all. Like saying, I'm not going to take care of my baby because I don't do it very well.
Subconscious mind is always working.
Yeah. And
if
we because
get hurt, we say, oh, Ma, Mother. If we get hurt, immediately it comes like, Ma.
Yeah, there was some pilot, the plane crashed, and you know, they collected the black box. And the last words of the pilot, I love you, Ma. Because that was the highest thing he could think. Naturally, at the time of death, he thought of his mother. But a devotee, he practiced to remember Krishna at the time of death. That's the difference.
One question actually, this is deviating from the topic. Normally they say that you need to burn the body, the dead body. But in Christianity and Islam they say to bury. Is there something wrong somewhere? I mean, down the line.
Anyway, one way or another, you have to get rid of it. That's the main thing.
Yeah, but isn't that the burning is different or something with the ashes? Do they become dust? Is there a difference?
Anyway, the body has three destinations. Either if you're Hindu, you burn the body and it becomes ashes, or you bury the body, the Christians, it becomes earth, or the Parsis throw it to the vultures, it becomes stool. But one way or another, that's where the body's going. Either it becomes ashes, or earth, or stool.
Some element.
Something back to them. So we have to, before we reach that point, we have to realize I'm not this body. The body is meant to become ashes, or stool, or earth. but I'm not this body. That, otherwise, you know, one way or another, at the time of death, they're going to throw the body away. No one's going to say, "Oh, this body is, this is my wife. Let's keep her." Everybody says.
The reason for my asking was because scientists were able to only find dinosaurs, you know, their bones, like millions of years ago. They didn't find anything human, and humans have been like from such a
anyway,
long time.
If they bury your body, they'll find you, but what's the use? You're not this body, so even if they find your bones, so what?
You can't move either.
You're trying to figure out why they didn't find the old human bodies?
Yeah, that's the reason, because it's been from so long.
There's so many things they don't find.
That's true. So basically...
And even if they found all the bodies, you know, if they could somehow or other put the dust back together again, still they wouldn't find the soul. So, even now, while we're in the body, they can't find the soul. Even while the body is, before it reaches death, they look and they think it's all chemicals, it's all matter. But they can't find the soul even when it's in the body, what to speak of when the body is finished. So they don't, you know, they can't. They don't know where to look. Nor do they know what to find. They're basically, instead of looking for the soul, they're looking for bones. Bones we already have, so many. In your body there are so many bones, in your neighbor, you know, in the apartment building, how many bones are there? And the scientists are busy looking for more bones. This is the difference between the scientists and the devotees. The scientists are looking for bones, and the devotees are looking for Krishna. Which would you rather find? Okay. I'm sorry, but we have to go. The next program is there. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.